And amen. It's that little phrase I want to leave with you tonight. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away sin of the world. Now, of course, at this time of the year, we do think about the Lord Jesus Christ coming. But here, the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed by John in this particular setting to be the Lamb that was longed for throughout the Old Testament. For centuries, they longed for the Messiah. And John pointed and said, here is the Lamb of God. And I have three very simple thoughts that I would like to leave with you from this little text. And I pray the Lord will give us grace and help tonight as we consider his word. The first thing we see here in this text is a look. And that's in the word behold. Behold. Now, the word behold there in Scripture means to see, but it also means to consider, to perceive, or to understand. And this word behold is a very important word, for it's important for you and it's important for me to stand still and take time to think. Now, you might think that's very strange, but people today are so preoccupied that they do not take time to look clearly and look at things beyond the physical realm. You see, the average person in the United Kingdom spends more than one day a week on the internet. People are spending an average online 24 hours a week. Now, that sounds quite shocking, but whenever you think about it, we're told that those who are aged between 15 and 24 spend 4 hours a day on their phones. And those who are over that spend at least 2 hours and 50 minutes. That's the average for all adults. Young people check their phones every 8.6 minutes. Very seldom are we without a bombardment of information, and very seldom do we have time to sit down and think. Because of the vast amount of information available at our fingertips, we spend less time than ever before thinking about the information that we read. In the news apps, they say if the person hasn't caught interest in the first little paragraph of the news story, they're going to flick on. And that's why news porters are writing those newscasts on the internet and on the little apps so that they grab your attention in the first opening paragraph. We've stopped reading. We've stopped investigating. We've stopped being interested in the world around us. We simply read or view something and then click on to the next thing and then on to the next thing and on to the next thing until the battery dies out or until we are tired. And that's what we do with our time. It has made us a people who do not take time to think. This word behold reminds us that the most important thing that everybody should do today is to think. Who am I? No phone, no television, no radio, no music. Just you sitting before God, considering who am I? What is my purpose here? Where am I going? How will I stand before God? Why was Jesus born in Bethlehem? Why is the birth of Jesus so celebrated in the church? Where will I be 5 seconds after I die? And those are things that we ought to be thinking about. Very important things. Now, the great problem is there's a battle today for the minds and the hearts of people. Every excuse is flagged up for not taking time to think and consider spiritual matters. Oh, we'll talk about anything. We'll think about anything. We'll watch anything. But we don't take time to think about spiritual matters. Some people say, well, I'm too young. You know what? You're never too young to think about your soul. You're never too young to be saved. And praise the Lord. Children can be saved. Praise the Lord in this congregation this year. Children have come to faith in Christ. You're never too young to be saved. Some people are too self-sufficient. Well, I've got everything I need. I don't need the church. I don't need the gospel. I don't need Jesus. Friend, very foolishly, not realizing that it's the Lord that gives them the breath within their body. Friend, nobody's too self-sufficient that you do not need the Savior. Some people are too happy, too blissfully enjoying life and sin and living by their own rules and their own standards. And we want to see people happy. But friend, if you're happy in your sin and in the neglect of Christ, then it's a very, very short happiness you're going to have, because the pleasures of sin are but for a season. The Bible says, after death cometh the judgment. Some people are too busy. Have you ever heard that excuse? Some people are too busy. I'm too busy to come to church. I'm too busy to read my Bible. I'm too busy to pray. I'm too busy to be involved in the work of God. I'm too busy to be at the prayer meeting. And the fact is, if you're too busy for God, then you're far too busy. But some people are too busy, and they don't have time to even consider where their soul is going to be. Sometime when I have more time. Sometime when I have a bit of free time in my hand. When I've got my work done. When I've got my business built. When I've got my house sorted. When I've got my family raised. When I've got my life lived. Then I'll think about the Lord. Too busy. But the reality is, people get to the end of their days and many are too tired to think about spiritual matters. They lived a life, they've tried to do the best they can, but their family and their body and their mind are weary and maybe not even able to consider these things at this time in life. But the sad reality is, you might say you're too young or too self-sufficient or too happy or too busy or too tired, but hell is filled tonight with people who are too late. They didn't think about their soul. They didn't think about their soul. Friend, there's nothing, nothing, nothing that is more important tonight than your soul. And the reason I turn to this passage, and I'm not in Luke's Gospel chapter 2, or I'm not Matthew chapter 1 or chapter 2, and I have preached from those, and I will preach from them again, Lord willing, at all our Christmas seasons. But the reason I came to this point was to remind you that the babe in the manger of whom we have sung tonight, and the one that we've talked about, and the one that we've read about, he came with a purpose. He came as a Lamb of God. He came and is identified here. He came to take away the sin of the world. And friend, that's what's so important. You see, there are many people, and they don't mind Christ at Christmas. They don't mind the little baby because it's not very threatening to them in many ways. And they'll have him in the little Christmas cards, and they'll sing the carols, and they'll come to services like this. But don't speak to them about the Saviour. Friend, he didn't say a baby in a manger. He grew up, became a man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, we come now to John 1, and we've seen, first of all, the look. But secondly, we see the Lamb. And John says, behold, the Lamb of God. This was the adult man, Jesus. He was known as a Nazarene, the son of Joseph, the one that was born in Bethlehem, wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger and identified here as the Lamb of God. And tonight, I trust your heart has been thrilled as you've read through Scripture and seen the Lamb promised there in Genesis and then identified and brought forth right up to Revelation, where he sits on the throne of eternal glory. In the Old Testament passages, they look forward to the coming of the Lamb. Praise God, here in the Gospels, the Lamb has come. And then in the New Testament era, which we still live in today, we look back to the Lamb, the one who came, the one who lived, and the one who died for us. Now, what do the passages that we read tonight emphasize to us about the Lamb? And what does it teach us about the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world? Well, as was read a few minutes ago, every lamb that was slain and sacrificed in the Old Testament, even in the New Testament, not one could take away our sin or make us right before God. But as the lamb was slain and placed upon the altar, it was placed there as a token, as a symbol, looking forward to the one who would come, who would take away sin, the Messiah, the one who was promised of God. He was to be sinless. Remember, as Elaine read to us just a few moments ago in the book of Exodus chapter 12 about God's requirements for the lamb that was to be slain and the blood applied to the doors over there in Egypt. And if you were under the blood of the lamb and in the house where the blood was applied, then you'd be safe from the wrath and the judgment of God. Well, that lamb had to be a perfect lamb. Not just any lamb could be used that night, but that lamb had to be examined. It wasn't to have a disease, it wasn't to have a mark, it wasn't to have a limp, but it was to be a perfect lamb. And that speaks to us of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is perfect in every aspect of his being. He's perfect in his holiness, he's perfect in his love and his purity and all of those wonderful things. And because of this perfection and holiness, he is separate from sinners. He hates sin. And God is angry with the sinner. And friend, why that anger has been reserved for the day of judgment. Someday the sinner will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and know the anger of God upon them because of their sin. God must punish sin. But praise his name, the wonderful news of the gospel is this, that God provided his Son, the Holy One, the perfect, spotless, blameless Lamb of God, to do a work that we could not do, to deal with our sin. Not only was that lamb to be a perfect lamb, but that lamb was going to be a sin bearer. In many ways, that lamb represented the person for whom it died. And sometimes, whenever the lamb was brought to the tabernacle, there were two lambs brought to the tabernacle. One was slain and placed upon the altar, and upon the other, the hand of the sinner was placed. And that was a symbol that the sin was being transferred from the sinner onto the lamb, and the lamb was going to be slain, and the blood was going to be shed, and the lamb whose head the man put his hand upon, it was taken out into the wilderness, reminding us that whenever we give our sin to the Saviour, whenever we confess our sin and we repent of our sin and we trust in Christ for salvation, that just as that lamb went off into the wilderness, never to be seen again, so the Lord removes our sin so far from us that they'll never be brought before us again. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ came to take away our sin. That's why we rejoice. That's why we say, hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. That's why we sing, joy to the world, the Lord has come. That's why we sing these songs with such joy and emphasis, because Christ has been provided as a lamb that would bear my sin. He became guilty in my place upon the cross of Calvary. He bore the punishment for my sin, and he did it that I might be reconciled to God. But there was something else about that lamb there in the book of Exodus that had to be done for the people to be saved. The lamb had to be slain, and the blood had to be shed, and the blood had to be applied to the doorposts of the house. You know, the hymn writer said, he died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven, saved with his precious blood. You see, the blood that flowed from the Saviour's wounded body is able still today to cleanse us from every sin. It's the only thing that can cleanse from sin. As our sister read, the theme of the lamb slain, the one who gave his blood, that is the theme of heaven tonight. That's what they're singing in heaven. Worthy, the lamb that was slain. It's worthy of eternal praise because it lifts us up from the dunghill of sin. It saves our soul from hell. It shields us from the wrath of God. It deals with our guilt and makes us acceptable before God. No wonder heaven sings, worthy, worthy the lamb. Sometimes, you know, when we're saved, it seems to be we lose the wonder of our salvation. We lose the awe of it sometimes. We forget just how far the Lord has brought us and how much he's saved us. And we sometimes get neglectful of our walk with God. Only God, give us a soft heart. May we stand in awe tonight before the Lamb of God and say, is this for me? Oh, what a Saviour that he would die for me. What did the blood signify on the doorposts in Egypt that night? That death had already taken place. The judgment had already been wrought in that house, and therefore there was no more need, because God does not demand justice twice. And whenever the blood is applied to us as a blood-bought people of God, then that signifies that someone has died for our sin. The punishment has been borne, and God is satisfied. You see, God is satisfied with me tonight, not because I go to this church, not because I preach the gospel, but because Christ died for me. And the night I turned from my sin and trusted in my Savior and asked him to come into my heart and save me from my sin, that night the blood was applied. And praise God, tonight I am loved by the Father as Christ is loved. And writer said, I am under the Lamb of God. I am washed in the crimson flood. My soul has been redeemed by the mighty I am. From his head to his nail-pierced feet, his blood's on the mercy seat. Salvation's been made complete. I'm under the Lamb. If you're not under the Lamb of God tonight, if you're not saved, then you're under the condemnation of sin. But praise God tonight, there's one who can save you from your sin. One who can deliver you and make you clean. Even as we were saying this morning in the service, wash you and make you whiter than the snow. We see tonight in this verse a look. Behold, we see the Lamb of God, and then finally we see the lesson. And the lesson is this: Jesus taketh away the sin of the world. Now this reminds me, first of all, in this passage, that every single one is born in sin, and that sin needs to be dealt with if you want to be in heaven. All are born in sin, shaped in iniquity. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. And not only, friend, do you need to be saved, but listen to me, you need to be saved now. You need to be saved now, because there's no guarantee you'll have another hour upon this earth. Never mind see Christmas or the New Year. You could be sitting healthy here tonight, and in 1 hour the undertaker called. We do not know. That's why the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. But praise God, you can leave this church tonight knowing for sure it's well with your soul. And no matter what happens, you know that heaven is going to be your eternal home. You can be saved now. The Bible says, behold, now is accepted time. Behold, now is a day of salvation. What do you need to do? Friend, you need to turn from your sin. You need to agree with God that that sin is against God, that that sin deserves the wrath of God, that sin deserves hell, and you need to change your way. You need to repent. You need to turn your back on that sinful life and your own standards and come into line with the Word of God. But in doing that, repentance, there must be faith, believing that the work that Christ did on the cross is enough for your salvation. I believe Jesus saves, and his blood makes me whiter than snow. You know what that little word taketh away means? Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. It means to lift up. Friend, tonight you have a burden of sin. Maybe you've been feeling it recently. Maybe you felt guilty, afraid of going into eternity because you know you're not ready. You know what the Lord will do? He lift the burden. Lady sang just a few moments ago, come to Calvary. Come to Calvary and leave it all there. Not only does it mean to lift up, it means to take away. And that burden be taken away, cast into the sea of forgetfulness, never any more to remember it against. You see, what the Lord forgives, he never brings before you again. And praise the Lord, he forgives all of our sin. That word taketh away also means to carry. And he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. It means to loose, and only the blood of Jesus Christ can loose us from our sin. And it also means to remove, and only the blood of Jesus Christ can remove the sin and its effects from our lives. The hymn writer said, if from sin you are longing to be free, look to the Lamb of God. He to redeem you died on Calvary. Look to the Lamb of God. You see, the lesson is Jesus taketh away the sin of the world. But remember this, only Jesus taketh away the sin of the world. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Nothing else will give you acceptance with God other than the way that God has provided, and that is the Lamb of God. And friend, tonight, what you do with Jesus will affect you eternally. You see, you're sitting in this meeting tonight and you're saying, well, you know what? That's not for me. I don't want your Savior. I don't want a salvation. I don't want to be saved. I don't want to be a Christian. You've every right to make that choice. You've every right to make that choice. But remember, you do so as a sinner. And one day death will come. And one day you will go into God's eternity and you will stand before him. What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Because one day your soul will be asking, what will Jesus do with me? Praise God, there's a Savior here tonight who's ready and willing and able to save. I finish with this story. C.H. Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher of the 1800s, was to preach in the Crystal Palace in London. So he went with a friend on the day before to test the acoustics of the building. And as he stood on the pulpit, And this was the day before loudspeakers were invented. So he stood on that pulpit on the auditorium and he shouted the words, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And he had to keep repeating it because his friend had to go to different parts of the building to make sure that it could be heard. And he maybe said it 15, 16 times. And the voice carried well all throughout the building. And they were happy. And Spurgeon and his friend left the building and went home to prepare for the meeting the next day. But what they had not noticed in the building that day as they were there was a workman engaged in completing some repairs to the roof. And he heard the text again and again and again and again. And he went home that night and tried to sleep. But such conviction grasped his heart that he said, "I cannot sleep until I know for sure that the Lamb of God has taken away my sin." You see, they didn't know that man was there. But because he simply quoted the plain word of God, the Lord used that word to save that man's soul. And therefore tonight I say to you, dear friend, man, woman, boy or girl, stop. Stop. If you're not saved, I ask you to home tonight. Put your phone away. Don't turn on the radio, television, computer, anything like that. If you're not saved tonight, I ask you to take 5 minutes and you sit in the silence. And before God, you consider where you're headed to. Where your eternity will be. Friend, what a sad thing if you rush through life without taking time to think about the Savior. And then fall into hell without him. I want you to think tonight in this pew before you leave. How do I stand before God? Where are my footsteps taking me? And where are my footsteps leading my family? Am I leading my husband or my wife to hell? My boy, my girl, my children? I want you to think, could I be sitting in a gospel preaching church and bound for hell? We're going to stop. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He can take your sin away.